Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners, part two on the Source family. The infamous, stylish, and very iconic cult for its era. A strange beginning from the start. Source family leader Jim Baker, later known as Father Yod, and then by the Hebrew name Yahuwah, was a fascinating and very controversial character, even before he made it into the public consciousness. Last week, in part one, we discussed his upbringing, his seeking a father figure, which came in the form of Paul Bragg from Bragg's Amino Acids. That was at first, but then branched out into similar spiritual health-minded guru types. We discussed his time in World War II, his judo training, love life so far, and the death of his Topanga Canyon neighbor at the hands, and I mean the actual hands of Jim Baker. And again, when I say hands, I mean he judo chopped him. I read in one source, and I wanted to verify it between other sources, but allegedly his hands were registered as deadly weapons. Hey, that may be true. That may not be true. But it could make sense considering that the man that died at his hands at the end of the last episode, and another man you'll hear about in just a little bit, perhaps died by his hands. So at this time, Jim Baker / Father Yod, though he wasn't going by that at the time, he was still married to Elaine, and they decided to start a restaurant. It worked beautifully for them. He would cook, talk to the patrons, she designed the place. It really worked seamlessly. He still loved the organic lifestyle and that health meant wealth, and both in terms of success and being a pure source of vitality. He had an entrepreneurial and adventurous spirit, but a void from childhood and a masculine need for control and dominance. Not aggressively per se, but he needed to be number one. And these are all my non-professional opinions, but what I think is this was all a breeding ground for people like him to coercively control others to fill whatever void was inside them. And hell, if they get infamous along the way, even better. And Jim Baker knew how to shine. Not initially in this way, but he knew how to be Jim Baker, who was a lot, who then eventually became Father Yod, and whose followers eventually came to him.
That is something that it ain't. Chilly with my baby, oh, she's quaint.
So Jim and Elaine are married, and he's coming off of the Topanga Canyon murder situation, which is extremely tragic. But around this time, he and his wife, Elaine, opened the Away Inn at 8828 Sunset Boulevard, a vegetarian restaurant a block away from where the Viper Room now sits. It was the perfect scenario for Jim to explore his need for power. The hot new restaurant and the handsome owner attracted women constantly. And affair after affair steeped those Sunset Boulevard steps. And then eventually Elaine was done. she filed for divorce. But scandalous relationships and delusions of grandeur were not off the table for Mr. Baker. The table being all organic, vegetarian preferably. However, there's one menu item that didn't age so well. In 1962, a woman who would not go on to become one of his wives, but whom his encounter with would end in a man's death. She was an actress named Jean Ingram. The apparently enchanting, good-looking Jim Baker was snagging girls left and right. And remember, at this time, he was still married to Elaine. And Jean was also married. Granted, she was separated from her husband at the time, but he didn't take too kindly to his wife hooking up with Father Yode. So, the husband brings a gun, ready to confront the man sleeping with his on-again, off-again wife. And what actually happened is likely lost to time in terms of pure accuracy, but what's said to have happened is the husband brings a gun to confront Jim Baker, there's a struggle, the gun goes off, and the man also receives at least 2 judo chops.
Judo chops to the neck.
That seems like that was intentional.
Well, I think it was intentional.
But do you believe that the gun just went off and then... Okay. So if the gun goes... Why the judo chops after... Was he already dead when the gun went off?
No, I would think that the judo chops is how he disarmed him. Maybe he took control of the gun. For what I saw was that it's, you know, two judo chops to the neck and a bullet to the head. Now, how that bullet got in the guy's head, I mean, and then for him to later, you know, be let off for self-defense, it makes me think that, like, he must have reported that the gun either went off accidentally or that the husband who was trying to, you know, confront or kill Jim Baker may have, you know, in their fight had the gun pointed at him in a way that, you know, in a, as far as the law would look at it, if he takes the gun and fires it back at him, would be acting as self-defense.
I don't know. A bullet to the head, though, seems like, okay, if it's reported that, like, the gun went off, maybe it was all kind of, like, watered down, like because he did get charged for manslaughter. For this. And he did actually spend 5 months in jail, but charges were dropped. Yeah, I don't know quite how he got around the whole thing, but the thing you told me, and then I Googled it right before, because I was reporting on this saying, like, well, the gun went off, blah, blah, blah. And Greg's like, no, I read it was 2 judo chops to the neck and a bullet in the head. I'm like, okay, I'll look that up. A bullet in the head seems pretty specifically...
intentional.
Yeah. Like you hear about guns going off, you know, someone drops a gun or something, and, you know, someone gets shot in the leg, or, you know, a bullet in the head. I mean, I'm sure it's happened.
Well, to be ruled self-defense, and there seemingly isn't any other good background information on this. Yeah, it's like, that must have been a headline or something that was reported in the paper, like 2 judo chops to the neck and a bullet to the head, because it, you know, reads really well. Because that sounds like, you know, he judo chops him twice in the neck somehow and disarms him, gets a hold of the gun, the guy's laying on the ground, and then bam, he, like, execution assassination style.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Shoots him right in the head. It's just like, that's how that reads to me. But for a judge to rule it self-defense, you'd think that there had to be more of a, like, you know, the gun was still on that guy's hand and he was trying to get it from him and it went off and hit him in the head. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know. I mean, is there, if the guy, like, actually held the gun and pointed it at him, if you then can do 2 quick judo chops, get the gun and shoot the guy, is that all self-defense, you know, because you're a better martial artist?
You know, I think that perhaps, like, you just saying that part, like, Was he able to like judo chop it? Like someone's holding a gun to you, but you can judo chop your way out of the whole deal. I think that's partially why this story didn't tarnish his name. It made him more famous or more infamous.
Absolutely. No, the legend just continues to grow, and I still have yet to like come around to the point of like not liking this guy.
Yeah. He's now killed 2 men with his bare hands and has not served more than 5 months for it. It's like, okay, all right. I mean, I'm not saying I like a person that's killed 2 people, but yeah, I can see how like the infamy is like, well, who are you?
He's turned into James Bond, it seems.
Exactly.
He's got a license to kill, judo chops. His hands are deadly weapons.
They were actually, I read somewhere they were actually licensed as deadly weapons at a certain point, but I don't know if that's true.
If it's possible to get your hands licensed as deadly weapons after a confirmed kill, that sounds like something Jim Baker might have done.
It almost sounds like, it doesn't sound like a real person. It is, he sounds like the stuff of legends. I don't know.
Yes, the legend keeps growing.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
But, you know, the second murder, the first one's with the dog, and I'm like, always protect the dog. But it's like, okay, he was sleeping with the guy's wife.
Yeah.
Like, there's a clear moral breakdown here, and I think this is where we'll start to maybe
unravel.
See eye to eye.
There you go, yeah. Peel back the layers of Jim Baker. Well, he's still pretty infamous, though, and this helped him start the big restaurants. However, Elaine, his wife, could not handle the roller coaster of being cheated on, you know, being like, oh, cool, my husband just went to jail for 5 months or, you know, because he was cheating on me and almost killed or did kill someone.
Yeah, that'd be hard to overcome.
Yeah. So after affair, prison time, some murders, which she's lived through 2 of them. She was there in Topanga Canyon, so
2 murders in 2 years while also getting cheated on.
It's not funny. I don't know why to laugh.
Well, I mean, yeah, if that didn't end in divorce.
I'm just trying to think about like being in a relationship where you're like, all right, well, so at least he was defending a dog. Okay. Oh, oopsie. I got another one.
Really hard to defend the killing the mistress's husband.
She put up with a lot. So in 1965, after 17 years of marriage, he and Elaine divorce. She takes one restaurant, he takes the other. Then, in pursuit of finding himself after his divorce from Elaine, he heads to Samoa. He spends a few years there sauntering around before growing bored and needing to get back to a more fast-paced, on the verge of enlightenment life, celebrity-filled, you know, Los Angeles. And it was on his return to L.A. that he meets another wife. And this would be his first, quote-unquote, bad influence wife. But by the way, she was a kid. So we are not blaming her. And I'm not saying actual kid, but she's 19. He's in his 40s. He was 45. She was just 19 when they met. She was a girl that frequented his restaurants, Dora. She was a French girl. And she liked to party like a rock star. She was allegedly sexually free, not afraid to try or become accustomed to psychedelic drugs. She was open. And perhaps that's what Jim Baker thought he needed at the time. And he joined in on her party. He started drugging and drinking heavily. And they lived a colorful life together. Isis Aquarian, who was a former wife of his and is the historian, essentially, for the Source family. So all those like cool photos, and you'll see them on our Instagram that they, you know, that surface. It's because she cataloged all this, took a lot of the photos. Anyways, she
credit
said
to her for keeping, you know, all that well documented.
And they're pretty epic photos.
Very epic.
I mean, they're all beautiful, creepy, everything at the same time. Like it's the epitome of like what you think like cool Sunset Strip 70s. I don't know.
Yeah, it makes you the photos make you want to join a spiritual California psychedelic cult.
Yeah. That, you know, one guy.
It works in a photograph. Now, it'll, you know, everything that was going on, maybe questionable.
You didn't see any judo chops in the photos, right?
Oh, I saw some karate photos of the guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way he probably didn't have a photo of him.
Oh, like, yeah.
The one photo in the documentary, and I only watched a little bit of the documentary because we needed to get to this episode, was one of the followers. I had to like re-look at it a couple times. He was in such a crazy yoga pose. I think his legs were completely behind his head.
Oh, yeah. I can do that.
Can you?
I can. I used to sit like that fairly often.
Should we pause this and you show? Oh, this is new information.
Okay, I'll show you.
And Greg proved that he could do it. Is this another check for you becoming a cult leader like we talked about last episode?
Maybe. I'm not as flexible as I used to be, but I feel like, you know, very absurd flexibility can only like further convince your flock that you are, you know, the chosen one because of your incredible yoga abilities. You know, it's like, the body, mind over matter. I could bend this body in any way I want.
And I will say you're more musically talented than Father Yod, but we'll get into the music stuff later. But yeah, they actually, the people that were actual musicians were annoyed when he wanted to join his band that he forced them to, because he would just sort of bang around and like be haphazard. And they were like, okay, we actually know what we're doing.
Yeah, well, I haven't, you know, totally given up the dream. You know, you got to be a failed rock star to be a cult leader, right? So I'm still holding on to hope that maybe the rock star thing will work out. So if not, by the time I'm 40, definitely going full cult.
Okay.
You trained me up with Seven Deadly Sinners, so.
Well, I apologize.
All these episodes.
Well.
I will say Father Yod, Jim Baker, I kind of like the front man that just has a big giant drum. Like, it's I'm like, this is kind of, this could maybe work.
It's just like, yeah, he's the guitarist with mystique. Is that what they say in Almost Famous? Like, one guy's the good looking one, you're the guitarist with mystique. It's the thing that we agreed to this.
But it's bold to be, you know, center stage with just a big drum. Just see, one drum, bam.
You know what? That actually is the best sentence to boil down what personality type it takes to be a cult leader. It is bold to not actually be talented at, you know, the musical, like, to be comfortable being center stage with a drum. I'd rather hide behind the drum. Wow, no, that is... All right, moving on. So, he meets Dora. She's 19, he's 45. And Dora was apparently a wild one, like we said. Isis Aquarian says that Dora would bathe in a clawfoot tub in the middle of their apartment while he was holding business meetings with, like, other men.
Well, that makes sense why he sealed many business deals.
I guess so. I mean, I don't really know. I can't, like, really picture how that worked out, but, I mean, it's the 70s.
I mean, I can just imagine some suits, you know, coming into this situation with money to spend, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, dude, this guy's got a half-naked 19-year-old, or fully naked 19-year-old, just bathing in the, you know, like, this is pretty brutal.
Come along, baby, come along, baby, come along, baby, gonna take you.
I guess, yeah, she was an asset to the business. Who knows really what happened, but I do know that, at least allegedly, she was the one that introduced him to heavier drugs. and addiction, to the point where he began stealing money from the register of his restaurant. And one of the investors of the restaurant hired a private investigator to look into this. But, like a typical cult leader type person, he wasn't going to take responsibility for it. So, when that happened, him and Dora fled to Mexico. He sells the restaurant, and he and Dora bonnie and glide it to Mexico.
I feel like this guy's all about escape plans.
Yeah. Escaping reality.
Yeah. He'll leave a life behind.
Absolutely. Well, his dad did that to him. I mean, maybe that's the psychology of it. But he spends 2 years there before getting a renewed interest in spirituality and a new idea. And he comes back to LA. And this is when he opens his most famous restaurant, The Source, in April of 1969, which the entire time I was researching this and I would see like kind of like the old photos of it, I was like, I think that's Cabo Cantina. I'm pretty sure that that's now Cabo Cantina. And I was 100% right when I actually got the address. You know what I'm talking about? La Cienega and Sunset, right at the top of the hill.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right on the corner there. That was The Source right there.
Man.
Yeah, and it was huge because it came when, you know, a lot of people were kind of getting into like the vegetarian lifestyle or just like they were health conscious, you know, seeking something. And so it had celebrities like Marlon Brando, Greta Garbo, the famous scene from Annie Hall where Woody Allen has the breakup, yep. You know, all that. We talked about that last week. But it also had, and this cracks me up, I wish we were still at Kristen's house because she would weigh in on this. It's essentially, I feel like Lisa Vanderpump stole the concept of The Source for Sir. So The Source had indoor waterfalls, candles burning in a fireplace. Lisa Vanderpump definitely has that in there. There's a tree in one of them. It's all very, you know, ethereal mood. It's a lot. There's music playing. It really sounds like a Lisa Vanderpump restaurant. And then on top of it,
I mean, she was alive.
She probably stole the concept. Well, maybe she was probably still living in England. Well, I don't know. Would she have moved here by that point?
I don't know. I didn't realize she was from England. Didn't know.
Well, she could have moved here, but actually, that would be interesting to know because Ken owned a ton of restaurants in England and in, you know, California.
Something else I thought was like maybe clever, but also kind of just like cheap, esoteric mystery bullshit, was that they had, you know, the pyramid that's on the back of the dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
They just carbon copied that. That was part of their logo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's just like it seems mysterious.
Well, his ideology changes later. We'll get into that in part three, but that I didn't notice that. The other Lisa Vanderpump connection, though, this is where it really sealed the deal. That they only, basically, he only hired, like, obviously, like, you know, young, attractive girls. That was the same concept for Sir. Like, I drove Kristen to go, like, she basically had to go to, like, a modeling audition to get hired there. It was, I think Lisa Vanderpump stole, I'm going to state it here. Allegedly, Lisa Vanderpump got inspiration.
Well, it's from too Jim bad Baker. There wasn't a reality show about the Source employees.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. Moro Casino,
America's social casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino,
America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Well, it's not too late. We could start a cult restaurant in L.A. and get this thing going.
Do you know what I also thought about side note, while watching at least the first part of the documentary, is these people likely did like a lot of psychedelic drugs. They're all alive today, or a lot of them are. Like, they look healthy and vibrant. Like, maybe they were onto something. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the documentary does have a lot of great interviews, and I haven't, you know, finished the doc yet because I kind of want to just go as far as we are in the series, our podcast series. But like, most of the former members, I feel like, aren't ashamed.
No,
and feel spiritually enriched from the experience.
Yeah. That's how I felt, at least. And we will finish the documentary before we do part three, which will be the final part. But yeah, I was like, they look vibrant and healthy. There's something to this.
Colts, good for the skin.
I don't know. I feel like we've bought into it. I think this is the first cult we've covered that you and I are like, I kind of like it. I get it.
Yeah, they're kind of selling us. But I mean, like, come on, you know, health conscious, grooving restaurant on the Sunset Strip.
The guy that can judo.
Psychedelic music.
That can judo chop people. But the story of the source gets, so he is the Forrest Gump of history during this time. It gets even more, iconic is the wrong word because it's very tragic what happened. But so, we're going to get there. Let's go back to Dora. So he opens the source. Dora's not into it. She wants to party. She goes back to France. She takes like a long vacation there. Doesn't come back for a long time. And gets married while she's there. She's actually legally married to, which I don't know how he got legally married so many times. It seems very difficult. But Dora and him are legally married. She goes to France. She ditches him. She marries someone else. He doesn't know that, but he's mad that she left him for so long. So then he marries someone else in the United States. Dora comes back, is like, how could you possibly do this to me? Like, even though she had just married someone, he's like, how could you possibly do that to me? They're both very upset.
Sounds like they were made for each other.
He never got over it. Isis Aquarian, the historian, said that he never got over it. He was always very lost. Like, he felt abandoned or betrayed or something, even though he had betrayed her as well.
Yeah. Like, it's reminds me a little bit of the Pina Colada song.
Do you like Pina Coladas?
Get caught in the rain.
Yeah.
They're like trying to both cheat on each other, whatever, but it's this.
Is that what that song's about?
Yes. Oh. That puts like an ad in the paper.
You like Pina? Is that what it's really about?
Yes. And then his actual lover shows up responding to the ad.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Is that why pineapples are a sign of swingers?
No, I have no idea. That's a good theory.
Okay.
That's hilarious. Didn't make that connection at all.
All right, just put me in a cage. I don't know what anything is. Just joking. So he doesn't get over it, and she's pissed. She's like, you married someone else even though I got married? It's ridiculous. She officially divorces him. He does not get over it, and he becomes very, like, obsessively attached to certain people. One would be Yogi Bhajan, who we're going to go into in part three, the final episode on this next week. But the other would be a woman he met at his restaurant. So this restaurant is thriving. It's making $10,000 a day. And think about in that time's money. So late 60s, early 70s, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's the coolest place to be on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, it's
John Lennon's coming.
I mean, everyone's there.
It's like Keith or Sutherland has a, maybe he was in, I don't know. I saw some footage of Keith or Sutherland there, and
yeah, it was hot.
The Father Yacht is just in the background of this.
Oh, really?
Shot. Yeah, there's someone's
cool,
like playing guitar.
So Kiefer Sutherland, like not Donald Sutherland, his dad. So like the younger one?
I think it's the younger one. Yeah, pretty sure, but maybe it is Donald. I don't know. They both kind of look alike. At the time, the guy's like totally hippied out.
I would think it would be, I don't know. How old is Kiefer Sutherland? I don't know. But yeah, it was iconic. I mean, it's in the most iconic spot pretty much on Sunset Strip is just in general. But yeah, it was
a cool, grooving spot. I mean, there's a story from the documentary. One of the cooks is talking about movie star shows up. Can't remember exactly who it is. High profile, and they weren't open yet. And he was just like, oh, yeah, dude, it's no worries. Just go into the kitchen and make yourself a sandwich.
Make yourself a sandwich. But that also makes it more like welcoming. Just like,
well, exactly. It had that feel. It's communal. This is the hang. It's communal.
Yeah.
And all the stars were going there. Ooh, this was like one more good little anecdote they said in the doc, that each individual band member of the band Yes apparently showed up one day in a separate limo. The guy was like, I've never seen like five different limos pulled up.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
So like this place was happening.
That's see, that's why this is like an iconic part of history.
And as the Source restaurant is etching its name into, you know, California Sunset Boulevard history, all the while, Jim Baker is like hanging out in a little like guru ashram little shrine that he's built in the attic of the Source restaurant that you have to like take a ladder to climb up to, and like, you know, he's sitting on pillows up there just grooving all day. Like, this is what's going on. You know, I don't know how many days he was up there, but that's where he's hanging out during the day at the restaurant. And like, you know, the servers and people are so taken back at this cool, you know, lifestyle, restaurant vibe, new diet, yada yada yada. And then, you know, the server's like, oh, you gotta meet,
and they have to go up there to
yeah,
like, it's like, okay.
But like that takes you into this new realm. It's like it's already building to like what's gonna happen. Like they're giving him these guru vibes. And it's just also like, this is before Jim Baker made any certain decision that he's like gonna become a guru, but he's like, he's built himself this little cozy meditation chamber in the attic where he's sitting on pillows, hanging out, grooving, probably doing lots of drugs.
He's unbelievable at marketing. So I have to finish the documentary at this point, because that's fascinating to me. That is, because what we'll find out next episode, what I do know is the cult sort of formed around him, but he did that on purpose. Like you come to, like, you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like that, it's not like, you know, hey, come be like my, you know, come follow me. It's like, oh, you're so, oh, I have to climb up a ladder to see you do
the
nothing.
The power of suggestion.
Wow.
Is there. You know, right when we started this.
Unbelievable. I'm so glad you surprised me with that.
When you started this whole story and mentioned that his followers chose him, I was like, maybe this guy really is a real guru, because that's how it should go, right? But as the story builds and you get into it, you realize that he'd been grooming himself to be chosen as the guru for years, almost going into this.
It's okay, that's wild to me. It sounds like I'm trying to think of like a movie. I can picture it. Like Never Ending Story or something. I don't know. Just like, oh, we have to go see.
Yeah, Grandpa's in the attic.
Yeah. Wow.
Crazy wizard. It's also kind of an awesome thing. Like, it's, you know.
I'm grateful you surprised me with that right now.
I want to hide in an attic above a restaurant I own, just grooving to tunes.
You got to do your stretches. You got the yoga thing.
Sitting Indian style on a pillow.
Yeah. Just called, it's called napping. Anyways. No, but that's wild to me. Everyone was coming to this restaurant. So, like you said, like several members of every member of the band Yes came in a limo. Everyone was coming. It was hot. And remember, he's really upset about being abandoned by Dora. He's upset by it being abandoned by his dad as a kid. Like, he's got real bad abandonment issues. And so he becomes a little obsessive. And when a woman or a girl, I mean, she was also 19, I think. So she's a woman, but she's, I mean,
very young woman.
Yeah, yeah. He's getting close to 50 at this point.
Sounds like he's got a type.
But in this instance, a girl named Robin Popper would frequent the restaurant wearing just a white bikini, which was pretty iconic for the time, even though everyone was, you know, in various states of dress. But she was known for showing up like that, which I commend. I think that's cool. And that certainly attracted, I was going to say Father Yod, but he's still Jim Baker at this point, because she kind of made him Father Yod. So she comes into the restaurant. She thinks he's kind of like a dirty old man, uninterested.
Which he is.
Yeah, he. Wow. Yes, she's right. She's right to think that. She's not interested. She wasn't like Dora. Dora actually, even though they're like the same age, was attracted to him for whatever reason. Robin, not into it. Whatever. but he becomes, because this is the phase in his life after Dora leaves, that he becomes very sort of obsessed with, like, you will like me. And he does it with Yogi Bhajan, which we're going to go into next episode. But it's like he can't take no for an answer. He can't, like, whatever. So he started basically following her down Sunset Boulevard when she would leave the restaurant. He would, like, yell out of his car, like, try to get her attention. And she was like, go away, old man. You know, you're getting close to retirement. Please take a nap. Go. Whatever. She kept rebuffing him. I don't know if that's the right word, but whatever. Blowing him off, just being like, no. Yet she would still go to the restaurant. So, like, it's kind of a cat and mouse game.
Must have been some good food. She just couldn't help herself.
It actually
or
does.
She wanted to be seen in that white bikini and there was no better place.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? But, or she liked the attention of him. She
clearly liked attention if she's just waltzing around in a white bikini on Sunset Boulevard, even if it is the 70s.
Yeah. So, anyways, she keeps, like, saying no. And then on the night, on August 9th, 1969, she's walking down Sunset. He's doing his thing where he yells out of his window at her and he tells her he's not going to leave her alone unless she goes out with him. She then makes him some sort of deal and she says, I will go out with you just tonight and then you have to leave me alone. In a very weird twist of fate, she was actually on her way to go visit her friend Sharon Tate that night. And that was the night that Sharon Tate was brutally murdered by the Manson family. Robin saw this as somewhat of a sign that, okay, well, maybe this guru's got something. Like, he basically saved me from getting murdered. Because everyone that was at the Tate Mansion that night, all murdered. And I think she thought, I could have been there, but instead I decided to go out with this guy. All right, maybe there's something to it. And then Robin Popper became his most devoted wife and devoted follower and biggest marketer of Jim Baker.
It should be noted too that she, like, had, you know, some kind of like digestive issues, or he got her on, you know, this organic, natural diet, and it also, like, apparently removed some health problems she was having. So she's all the more, aside from just her saving her life from the coincidence of one of the most tragic Hollywood tales of all time, there was also the combination of, like, he got her healthy.
Yeah, he's so healing
she
her.
She was truly, yes, believing in his healing powers, his teachings, just, you know, so it all.
Perfect storm.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just find that part so. I mean, if you've listened to this podcast before, guys, I covered the Manson murders and I got real into it at a certain point. And that's just. That's why he's like, he's the Forrest Gump sort of this story. It's like how. I don't know, and not to make light of the, but I can't even imagine being Robin and being like, she was supposed to go there and they murdered every single person in that house, including the kid that was visiting his friend that was like, you know, like the housekeeper, but, you know, like Stephen Parent, he was an 18-year-old kid that just got shot by them. Like, it's, that would change anyone for forever. Like, maybe I would be like, all right, Jim Baker, okay, you're 30 years older than me, but let's call it a day.
Yeah, it's wild that these two timelines intersect the way they do. Interesting too that Robin was kind of, I don't want to say the mastermind, but, you know, helped coalesce what was going on at the Source restaurant into what's very similar to the Manson family in a way, like, into a cult. And so it's like, it's weird that, like, she dodged that bullet, but yet, like,
I think mastermind is actually kind of a good word to use. Or she was at least his hype man. But I think that that is kind of an interesting way to end this episode, because she did become his... she kind of did mastermind it a little bit, or helped, I don't know, be the staircase to the attic in the source, essentially. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you must follow this man.
Well, I mean, she's interviewed in the documentary, and they talk about kind of going on this almost like educational spiritual journey where they're visiting all these gurus for the sake of kind of creating a business plan, right? Like, they eventually make their own doctrine, you know, their own Ten Commandments, their own set of rules that, at least the way that Robin explains it, is like they had studied all the great religions and all the, you know, big gurus at the time, and this is the best way to condense all of that information, including Manly P. Hall and other.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And so, like, they had intentions of this happening for sure. And then it all built into a very subtle meditation class offered at the Source Restaurant on Sunday mornings.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate you so much, both Greg and I do. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It really does help the show. Thank you.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.